minus 30 seconds. T minus 20 seconds.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of Kush's Corner here on the Trap Talk Reptile Network, the coolest reptile network in the world. Tonight we have on Brandon Valentine of Cult Serpents. He has a very cool collection of a lot of things that I also share an interest in, like Somalia, Liasis, Morelia, and is a fellow herper. We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about tonight. But before we get to that, as always, US ARC. So for anyone who is not familiar with US ARC, they are the organization that is fighting for our legal rights to keep reptiles, to run our reptile businesses, and to live this way of life. If you want more information about US ARC, check out usarc.org and become a member. As a community, we have strength in numbers in this fight to maintain our rights and to enjoy these animals. So the more members we have of US ARC, the better. We are also brought to you by the Reptile Perch, David Brahms. For anyone who sees the 3D printed perch tub kits, David Brahms is one of the people who really popularized those. If that is something that you are looking for, check out thereptileperch.com. We're also brought to you by Blake's Exotic Feeders. For anybody who has reptiles that eat birds, particularly quail, hit up Blake's Exotic Feeders. They hand raise everything right here in the US, so you know the quality is high. So check out Blake's Exotic Feeders. And we are also brought to you by the Reptile Talks. So the Reptile Talks is a new symposium that is going down in Anaheim, California, May 17th through the 19th, with many industry leaders, both in the private herpetoculture side, but also in the academic side and veterinary side. So for anyone who is either in that area or willing to take a trip, check out the Reptile Talks. It is sure to be a great time. All right, so here we are back this Wednesday for another Kush's Corner, and I could drone on right now, but I think let's bring Brandon right onto the show. Dude, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Can't complain. How are things over there in AZ?
Fucking hot. Went out herping today, got one Aatrox, that's about it. But
oh yeah,
besides that, I mean, slow going. I think I got a clutch of balls, hopefully about to drop, and then some Western Simpsons.
Cool.
About to lay. That's about it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So for everyone who's listening, you know, give us all a little bit of a background of your life in reptiles and kind of what's got you to the point you're at today.
I guess starting as a kid in San Diego, hanging out in the hills. My dad would always come home with, he'd help some of his buddies go work construction and all that, side jobs and stuff, and bring home gopher snakes and bucket full of bugs and a bunch of random shit like that, and kind of got me started young. And then Steve Irwin did it for me for sure, caught me 100%, definitely with all the Australian Indo stuff. So
yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, that's. I feel like for people in kind of our age group, that was a pivotal thing to be able to have Steve Irwin be kind of the ticker tape of our formative years, you know.
No, definitely, yeah. Him, Jeff Corwin. It's pretty much all I can really remember that stood out the most. Zaboomafoo and all that shit for animals, but
hell yeah. 100%. When did you first start getting into keeping?
I was probably 12 or 13. After a soccer game one day, my parents took me to the local pet store and got me a corn snake. And then corn snake only lasted about a year and a half, 2 years. It wasn't, definitely did that thing no justice. And from there, ball pythons, boas, followed the whole YouTube trend of everything cool.
Yep.
Cool at the time. And then it was stagnant like that for probably 8 years or so. Wasn't getting many animals. I probably had 5 animals for a good 8 years. And then just kind of exploded. Moved out here, met a bunch of good buddies, and then a bunch of good buddies with bad influences. I got a bunch of animals. So
I think this guy might be one of your the bad influences.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100% the worst influence. Showed me a lot of cool herb spots though.
Hell yeah. So when did you move out to Arizona?
2013.
Okay.
Halfway through high school, moved out here. Graduated high school and then just started working pretty much, and then didn't do any herping until I was probably about 20, 21.
Okay.
And then just by myself for a while, and then I met Dustin and all that, and it kind of just exploded from there.
Hell yeah. So
it's super long time, but enough to enjoy it.
Yeah, I get that for sure. What were your kind of introductions to herping? What were the species you guys were kind of targeting when you were first getting into it?
So when I went out by myself, it wasn't much at all. It was just Aatrox and gophers and the more common things. And then I went out with Dustin, got me on 2 montanes, tiger, rattlesnake. He checked off a lot of things that first weekend, made a long weekend down to Tucson, and we got a bunch of shit that weekend. And then, yeah, it's a lot of the cool ass shit down in Tucson is what's really done it for me.
Yeah. Trust me. I understand. You know, I moved out to this part of the country primarily to experience some of this stuff. These days, what are your favorite species to go out looking for?
Specs, molos, tigers. I'm 20-30 minutes from a good blue spec spot, and okay, then 45 to an hour from reds, and probably an hour and a half to 2 for oranges. So again, wow, those 3, hopefully we can get some whites this year maybe, and get some boas along with it.
Yeah,
some rosy boas.
Hell yeah. That'll be all the way out west, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
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 We're pretty much for specs, we're probably about as east as they go right now.
Okay.
Southeast ranging, I believe.
Okay.
I don't think they go. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Yeah, for me, I you know, I've done a lot of herping in New Mexico primarily, some out here in West Texas, but like I need to go. I need to find some willard eye in the wild for myself. Mm-hmm. Willard eye and price eye. Those are the two Arizona species that I really need to cross off the list.
Yeah. So Dustin fucking ruined willard eye for me. Okay. Pulled up. I was still putting my boots on, and he got one within 30 seconds of getting out of the car. So wasn't much of a hunt for him, but it was a good spot. It's a really good spot. Price eye were much more of a struggle.
Sure.
But yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I on this show, I try to emphasize the importance of herping for the kind of completing the herpetoculture experience. You know, what do you think the herping has done for your like appreciation of the animals and also your understanding when it comes to captivity?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you kind of cut out there for a second.
What I was saying was that, you know, I always try to emphasize how important I feel like herping is for the overall experience of herpetoculture. You know, what do you think incorporating that into your life has done for your understanding of these animals and then translating that to captivity?
Oh, shit.
It's a loaded question. We're getting
hot. Yeah, very. Probably keeping them way. A lot of people are probably keeping them, me included. We're keeping them a lot hotter than we should in the beginning, because you ain't seeing a lot of snakes at 90-degree weather, you'll probably see the one-off one. And besides that, you're not going to see much until it turns to night. And then that's when everything starts moving. But, I mean, kind of caught me off guard with that question. I don't have much to relate so far because it's completely different from what I'm keeping.
Sure.
I'm keeping a lot of tropical-ish reptiles compared to what I'm seeing here in Arizona, which is all desert basically and montane stuff. So I can't pull too much minus from like the king snakes and rat snakes and stuff like that. So, I mean, I can't draw too much from here per se, but
for sure
it's,
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And I think for me, it's, you know, I'm able to derive a bit more from the herping out here just because I have a decent sized montane rattlesnake collection, some colubrids from out here. You know, what really did it for me was camping out there and, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, freezing my ass off. I'm like, okay. The snakes are higher than this. They're, you know, this is, it's a kind of, we think of these animals as kind of fragile, but then when you're out there, you really understand how that's, it couldn't be possible for them to be fragile.
Oh yeah. The temperature swings are fucking ridiculous. So we went out to a spot out here and we went for a weekend to go get price eye and hog nose and all that stuff. And, we camped out in this one spot and it was like probably 75, 80 during the day, 85 maybe, and went camps, spent the night, woke up in the morning, covered in dew, cold and covered in dew. And it was dry the whole day before that. We were next to a bunch of grass and all that stuff. So that's, yeah, I mean, it just, the crazy ass swings that happen that no one really thinks that these animals can deal with.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely, you know, it's a good perspective to gain, especially, you know, when you see all the Facebook arguments about an 84 degree hotspot versus a 90 degree hotspot. You're like, if you took a step, you know, especially like with, you know, use green tree pythons as an example, like I doubt that these snakes are, you know, they're not losing sleep over, oh, this basking spot is 4 degrees too hot. I'm, you know, I can't go here. I mean, if it's too hot, maybe they're just there for a shorter period of time. You know, these snakes aren't stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. But if you're in, there's always those microclimates too. So if you're underneath the tree, I was seeing a lot of specks last year underneath these in the middle of the day next to these, the main part of the, like the root of the tree away from all the sun. And it's a good, I don't know, in the shade, probably a good 10 degree difference at least. Sure. So, and they're just sleeping there during the day if they couldn't make it out before to like a hole or something during the day or before the sun came up, shall I say.
Okay. Yeah, that's fascinating. What are like some of your fondest memories out in the field?
Probably
really like fun stories.
Fun stories?
Or whatever you think is notable, whatever you'd like to share.
So, me and Dustin got a speck out west, and we went to go cruise get the lay of the land during the day, not expecting to see anything. It was probably 90, 95 during the day.
Okay.
And we're driving to start going down this freeway. And as soon as we get on the freeway, there's a speck about to cross the road. And almost brake checked this motorcycle behind me, pull off to the side of the road. This thing was heated up and pissed off. And it was,
damn.
That was pretty, I've never seen a speck out on the cruise that hot before.
Wow.
That was pretty notable. And then, I guess how quiet a price eye rattle is when you're looking for them. They sound like a grasshopper. Dustin taught me that one.
Yeah, no, because I've kept price eye, and it's crazy. Their rattles are tiny. They're abysmally small. And, you know, obviously with a rattlesnake, I feel like you think of like an Aatrox or a prairie where you're going to hear that. But then as soon as you're like, the fuck is that?
Yeah. or how close you can get to one until they'll actually rattle. Me and Alex were hiking out at one of the mountains out here close to me, and we walked past this bush. I walked past it, then Alex walked past it, and then the guy behind us walked past it. And as soon as the guy behind us got past it, this tiger started buzzing behind us.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So it took three people to walk past it for it to actually start buzzing.
Wow.
Yeah, just little things that people wouldn't expect, I guess.
It makes you wonder how many you just walked over time that, you know, that you would have never seen otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had that happen where, like, I've walked right past where a clob was, and then the guy behind me just, like, flipped the rock and bzzz, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It could have been my find.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly.
Oh, shit. That's cool. Fun. What are some goals that you have as far as, like, U.S. herping in the future?
U.S. herping? Probably I want to try to find some rubber boas.
Okay.
I have one right now. I'm trying to get some more here soon, but I want to actually try to find some first and see what the actual habitat's like.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Texas would be cool. Texas is so big. There's so much you can do, but some Trans-Pecos too would be cool.
Yes.
To see. That's New Mexico is probably the closest I can go for that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Some gray bands would be tight. What else is there? Probably Florida, just to see a berm, because I'm a Python guy at heart. So, I mean, yeah,
that would be cool.
That's just because, but
yeah,
that's pretty much all I got. A lot of my herping I want to do is out of the country.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to start with the U.S. Mm-hmm. So what? Let's follow up with what you just said. Where are your exotic destinations in mind?
Australia is number one, but more feasible would be Mexico for sure.
Yeah.
See a lot of the croats down there. A Baja would be tight too. See some Baja rat snakes and a lot of the shit down there. Indo would be cool, but it's definitely sketchy to get to.
Yes.
It's definitely. Yes. The birders get over there though. Birders get over there and don't seem like they have that much of an issue. So
birders don't give a fuck. They'll go anywhere for a damn bird.
Yeah, honestly. Fuck. Gotta get that mindset.
Yeah. If you told some of these birders you gotta just swim to Antarctica and you'll see this bird, they're gonna be like, "Where's my wetsuit?"
Yeah, for real. Pretty sure they're doing that with penguins, aren't they?
Probably. Yeah, penguins are probably. Yeah, you're probably right. So Australia, what would be the things you want to see in Australia?
Carpets, olives, blackhead, anything. A lot of the geckos, or some of the geckos too. I'm not that big of a gecko head, but I love strophs and knobtails.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because you have some knobtails, don't you?
I have one. And okay. I started strong with it.
Hell yeah.
Asper, male Asper.
Yeah, dude, I would say those are my favorite geckos in the world, or the Nephrurus. I love those things. They're so cool.
Yeah, they're super cool. I messed up and should have got a Delaney at the last one of the last Pomonas.
Mm.
But I saw it last minute and it was already sold by the time I got there.
Oh shit.
Yeah, but I need more room if I'm gonna do geckos. I need a whole nother rack, a couple racks for knobs at least.
Yeah. Most definitely. Like what would be like the ideal type like species you'd want to get into if you went heavier into it?
Delaney are cool. I really like Delaney. You don't see too many of them for knobs. Amy are cool.
Yeah.
Asper is, I don't need any more Asper. With my male, he's going to go out to Dustin with his two females. And then the star. What's the star? I forgot what the star knobtail is. That is, I forgot the Latin name. Yeah, the star knobtail. That one's cool. I've only seen a couple of those guys floating around, but those guys are really pretty.
Hell yeah.
And then more Strophorus too. Strophorus are another one that I like a lot. I got a pair of Tanakata and just a single rank and I female.
Okay. Hell yeah. Yeah, man. That's, you know, obviously where this show is mostly Python based, but I love hearing about the other stuff too, because I think that's what makes this experience, you know, full. If I just had, you know, like the scrub pythons, like I feel like I'd probably go crazy pretty quickly, you know, having anything else to, you know, keep my attention.
Yeah, get your mind off it a little bit.
Yeah, and there's just so much to experience that I feel like limiting yourself to something is just, I don't know, it takes the fun out of it to me.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and if we're not having fun, then we're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
So what in all are you currently keeping over there?
A lot of carpets. Okay. Eastern, Western Stimpsons. Almost all of the Lyasis, Sabus, okay. Dunai, Maclots, Fuscus, and I don't have olives, but
okay,
it's the one thing I'm missing.
Okay, and then what else?
I got a couple one-off boas, some ball pythons. Let's see. Wamina scrubs, Tanabar scrubs, Trans-Pecos rat snakes, Woma pythons, Alterna.
Okay.
It's in the other room. Alterna. I got a Brazilian, but he's on breeding loan right now. Okay. Brazilian rainbow boa. What else is in there? Oh, green rat snake. Splendida and some Cal Kings, and I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. Well, let's start with the Lyasis. I'm a Lyasis fan myself. I only have olives at the moment, but I've worked with most of them. What drew you to Lyasis originally?
A majority of them don't get that big, and just the pattern, and they're not one to sit still and let you touch them. I like something that puts up a little bit of a fight. It's pretty fun.
Okay. Hell yeah. And when you were getting into Lyasis, what was your first species that came your way?
I got Fuscus and Maclots at the first time, both at the same time, shall I say.
Okay. And what did you get, pairs or individuals? What was your first group looking like?
I got two males. So I got a male Maclots and a male Fuscus.
Okay.
And my male Fuscus is the smallest Fuscus you'll ever see in your life. This dude's like this big in a 2019. He came out of a dehydrated egg.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's very small.
Wow. And when you got those two animals, did you just know that that was like something that you wanted to pursue further?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I can't say for certain what drew me to them 100%, but they're beautiful and they have some attitude. Anything that has a little bit of attitude is pretty fun to work with, I guess. It's not a ball python. I just won't sit there.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So first was the waters and the Maclots. Then what was next up on the journey of Lyasis?
Ooh, then I went to a Savu. Yeah, I got the Savu. Randomly, I wasn't even trying to get it popped up at a Phoenix show.
Okay.
And then from there, I got the pair of Dunai. And then I got a pair of Dunai originally, two Neos. The female rolled. I got her. She had some skin infection that the person I was getting her from said that she was going through, and he would send her when she was starting to get better. I got her. She didn't look good at all. So I can only imagine what she looked like from him, or he just sent them looking like that. And then she rolled, and but they were cool enough to get me another female.
Okay.
And that's my adult female. So yeah.
You have a pair of them right now?
Yeah. I got a pair, don't I?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, to me, olives are my favorite, but then duns come in very close second. To me, they're like mini olive pythons. I think even more than some of the other Lyasis are, to me at least.
It's just like a reverse Maclots if you look at the pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I mean, I haven't worked Mac lots. Would you say they're pretty similar?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I bet you've seen like some of the old pictures that KJ had posted of his female duns before he sent it to Ryan Young. I think there was some forced perspective because some of the pictures made the snakes look like they were like she's like 9 or 10 feet long. She looks fucking huge, but to me it was like had like an olive python head that I feel like like some of the smaller liasses didn't quite have.
Yeah, they do have pretty similar heads, and I'm thinking about it. I mean, I haven't worked with olives too much, but yeah, okay. I mean, it's pretty similar. I can pull out my little mail if you want to see them.
Sure, but I might as well. Yeah, I mean, people love dust pythons, and so do I. So I think no one would be too upset about it. Awaiting the duns. And this is why you should. This is an episode for everyone who's listening after the fact to tune into the YouTube for a little while later in particular. But right now you can see a beautiful and kind of upset duns python.
Yeah, pissed off little dude. I think he's going into shed right now too, so he's not the happiest camper.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's cool to see these snakes finally being like a little bit more available because I don't think I knew what a Dunn's Python was until probably 2016 or 2017. And then I never saw any available until probably about 2021.
Yeah.
Or so.
Yeah, as soon as I saw these guys available, I kind of jumped on it.
Yeah. With something like that, you kind of have to because otherwise you're not going to get your opportunity.
Yeah. And then after I saw these guys, I saw a couple more and then I haven't seen them again since. Minus Ryan Young producing his, but.
Yeah. There were a couple, I think it was like last year, a year and a half ago, a couple of like imports where some larger animals came over, but just a small handful. You know, enough where it's like, okay, cool. There's some more bloodlines in here, but definitely not where there's like, they were sitting for any amount of time.
Yeah.
So it's good to see. Are is that one related to Ryan's stock at all? Or is it different?
No, wild caught.
Oh, it is wild caught. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I didn't know that any came over that were that small. That's awesome. That's really good to have something that's that small that is unrelated to, you know, to his animals. Because that thing will be important for the genetic diversity of the future in that species.
100%. Yeah. And I get a big girl too. She's just a pisser though. She doesn't have the same attitude this dude has, but she's pretty calm for the most part. She just pisses and runs though.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Those are no fun.
No, not at all. I'd rather get bit than pissed on, honestly.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'll throw this dude back.
I think we have a might be later, Alex.
Stay tuned. Bar? Oh, you're asking for me to get bit.
Hey, you just said you'd rather get bit than pissed on, so we're just trying to help you out. Oh shit. That's funny.
Oh yeah, what a miss.
No, I just said that you said you'd rather get bit than pissed on, so we're just trying to help you out. That's really really all this is. Yeah, cool.
I just fit all the Tana bars though. I would have pulled out the little girl though.
Fair enough. So do you have plans on getting olives in the future?
Yeah, once I get more room.
Yeah.
You gotta complete the set.
Yeah. Yeah, because that would be the last piece, right?
Yeah. That'd be the last piece, and then just finishing pairs.
Okay, for sure. What's going to be like the first thing on the docket that you're able to breed within Lyasis?
Duns for sure.
It's a good one.
Yeah,
it's a good one to.
Yeah, well, the female's an adult. The male will take hopefully not as long to.
Yeah.
Grow. It's always easier to get a male up to breeding size or age than a female.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, let's pivot a little bit to the carpets. What kind of carpets are you working with over there?
I have inlands, a pair of inlands.
Okay.
So Mog to Schofield line, and then okay. a pair of reduced pattern or repair reduced pattern Darwins.
Okay.
And then I got a pair of Popwins, a granite male, and just a normal wild caught female.
Okay.
Red head exanthic from Eric Hernandez, and then a caramel tiger from Psychotic Exotics. I'm trying to think what else on the spot. A zebra and a couple other odds and ends.
Okay.
Some other Darwin albinos and
cool
designer stuff.
Okay. Well, that's not too shabby of a group. What got you into the carpet world?
Probably Steve Irwin, 100%. All anything Australian would be the first thing, I guess. Yeah. Carpets just, they caught my eye. I don't know what it was from the beginning, but I couldn't tell you.
I mean, they're amazing animals. My favorites, I'd say diamonds are up there, but I really love inlands. So how long have you had your pair of inlands?
I think going on 3 years. They were 2019s.
Okay.
And I think I've had them for 3 years, coming on 3 years. Okay. So they should be ready to go this coming season.
Speaking of Australian snakes, we got the OG Australians right here. Have you been pairing them up yet? Have you seen
any? No, I haven't paired them up yet.
Okay. Cool. They got to be getting up there for you though, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. After seeing Brandon Wheeler's video of how small his female was, I was thinking that I had to get him a little bit bigger, but my girl's probably about size. Next year will be the year to
yeah
together.
How big is she?
She's probably 4 foot.
Okay.
Four and a half foot.
Yeah. When I bred him, I think the female, she's probably right around 5 foot, but small. I mean, they bred in CB70 tubs for
okay
reference. But yeah, I feel like somehow or another they look huge in pictures.
I think it's because they get that big head. I think that's what really does it.
Yeah. Like last week with Ryan Young, we were talking about his inlands, and I said that I just asked how big his female was. I'm like, in that picture you have on your Instagram, she looks like she's 12 feet long. She just looks fucking giant. That's like one of my favorite parts about him. I feel like inland carpets are like a really good pet snake, like underrated as far 100%. As like a pet snake goes.
Yeah. Yeah. You can drop a brick on them and they'll still, that's the only thing that'll kill them. They're very. Okay. Some good info to know.
Yeah, it's the gospel right there. Yeah, and that's what's so cool about them.
Mm-hmm. And the colors, the pictures don't do them justice, for sure. I can't take one good picture of these snakes, but I love them.
Do they have any of that brick red coloration coming in on the side?
My male does. Has like a dark brick red kind of orangish tinge to them on the back half. He gets lighter and lighter, and then he'll get really dark out of nowhere, and then he almost fires up and down, I guess.
Oh, that's cool.
It's weird.
Yeah, that's how my female was. It was kind of like by her ventral. It was almost like flames on the side. It was so cool. And the male was just like that, you know, pretty silvery azanthic look. Yeah, they're so cool to me and so underrated. I feel like, you know, and I think what there's the silver peppered morph over in Australia, correct?
Yeah, that thing is tight. That thing's been, So I think that's the only, and then there was a melanistic, I believe, that popped out of inlands too, but I don't know where it's at right now. It was like a year, 2 ago that popped out. I don't know where it's at right now with that. I've seen an updated photo of it.
Was it in Australia or was it
Australia?
Okay.
Australia.
Cool. Yeah. Interesting. I would like to see a picture of that. I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah. But I think that's part of the reason why they're overlooked is because they're no morphs in the country, you know, mm-hmm. which is kind of unfortunate. I don't know. To me, some of the best carpet pythons are the locality specific ones, but
yeah,
as is with anything, I think morphs are going to stand out to people, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got some Brisbane's too. I forgot about that.
Okay.
Some Brisbane coastals.
How large is your pair?
They're small. They're the males from Owen.
Okay.
A year or two ago. And then the females from Brandon Wheeler for 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember exactly, okay. But they're still growing up.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I feel like those are the ones with they're notorious for being like the largest type, I guess, we have available. Correct.
Yeah. They're the only true coastals, I guess you could say, depending on how you're looking at that book.
Okay. Scott has them in his backyard, in his garden shed. That would be the life.
Rub it in.
Us pesky Americans who, you know, we have our boring gopher snakes and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I got blue specks in my backyard, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I can't complain either. You know, I got rock rattlesnakes not too far from me, blacktails. So,
yeah.
You know, it could be a whole lot.
Take that, Scott.
Your snakes don't rattle over there. Oh, fuck yeah. So do you have like plans as far as getting breeding projects going with your carpets?
Yeah. So inland should go next year, and then Darwin's, the reduced pattern Darwin should go the year after, hopefully. Okay.
Cool.
A lot of things are still growing up, but
yeah. What is the genetic with the reduced pattern Darwin's?
That's a good question.
All right.
The only person, so I only know of one other person outside of Todd and Carrie that it originated from that has produced it, and that's TJ. And he has a male and put it to a albino Darwin. And the baby's popped out funky looking, but I don't think anybody really knows 100% minus them. And okay. I think they're both out of the hobby 100% now. So
mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, that'll be a cool one to see. You know, I for me, it's always fun when there's the unknowns involved. It kind of, you know, add some mystique.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have any more that you kind of plan on getting to round out your group?
Not to round out, but to add on like other subspecies. Yeah. But probably some brettles. I'd like some stonewash brettles. That's pretty much it. Diamonds, I almost pulled the trigger on some diamonds, but I don't think they would do. I don't know if I can get them cold enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a concern. I feel like my room that I have for my Mangshan Vipers would be almost perfect for some diamond pythons.
Sounds like you need some diamond pythons.
Yeah, if anyone wants to give me some diamond pythons or trade me for scrub pythons, let me know. Oh man, that'd be awesome. Before we dive into the scrub pythons, you have a few colubrids over there. So you said it was, just remind me again, what are the colubrids that you're working with?
So I got some Trans-Pecos rat snakes. I have a couple king snakes, or I got a California king snake, Splendida, and Alterna.
Okay.
But the three king snakes. Oh, and then the green rat. Those are all. The king snakes and the green rat are all the single one-offs. And then I got 2.2 silvers and 2.2 blonde Trans-Pecos.
Okay. So you got quite the project brewing over there with the Trans-Pecos then.
Yeah.
So what was kind of your inspiration for working with that species? Because they're one of my favorite North American colubrids.
an ex-girlfriend got me into the fucking colubrids. Once that door kicked down, then they all started flooding in.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I love the color of the blondes, silvers, the normals. I've seen some really orange ones that I've been tempting to get into, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, dude, they're badass. I really love those snakes. What are your kind of long-term goals? Are you going to try to make some azanthic blondes or just keep them kind of separated or?
So probably separate them for the first year, get enough of each to start with. And then probably the year after kind of cross it from there and then just work it out that way.
Sure.
Get an army going on both sides and then cross in between all that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, sounds the way to go. Yeah, I have an azanthic blonde and an azanthic het blonde, and I'm doing my best to try to breed them, but I haven't seen anything, so I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen, but we'll see. But got Joe with the centicolas might be his new obsession. He corrected his spelling, so I don't want anyone to think that his. But yeah, I mean, tell me about keeping that because I've kept them as well, and they're. I feel like a species that more people should know about, you know, talk to us about the centicolas.
They're cool. My dude's cool. He's very inquisitive. He's a little piss and vinegar. I don't think I think it's because he's young. He's always rattling his fucking tail though. He's very observant though. He's always watching what's going on. Whenever I'm in the room, I can just see his head follow along, but I need to find him in the wild too. That might help.
Yeah, that was gonna be my follow-up question. So no centicola spottings yet, huh?
Not yet. Hopefully this year, but I'm gonna put that with a very slim chance of this year.
Hmm. Yeah, you had Dustin flexing a couple episodes ago about his fucking centicolas. Yeah. He was like,
bastard.
Cool. Yeah, but I mean, from what I've heard, notoriously very difficult to find. Is that track with your experience?
From what I've heard, yeah. I mean, I've looked for them probably two handfuls of times, not even a trace. I mean, three different mountain ranges, not a sign. I've been on that same road. Dustin got his on multiple times, and not even a tail or anything like that.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's how this shit goes sometimes. Have you seen any pyros in the wild, mountain kings?
Yeah. Yeah, we got I've actually only seen one.
Okay.
And it was Dustin got it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're walking this wash bed, and he's on the opposite side. He's like in the wash kind of, and I'm on the outer part of the wash walking up kind of. Okay. And all I hear is pyro. And I just see this, I look over and see this dude dive onto a pyro. And this thing is halfway in a rock and he ended up getting it out. But this thing was probably all 3 foot.
Oh, wow. So not decent size one.
Yeah, it was a big adult.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the only pyro I've seen.
I've been in range for them, but I've never seen them. So that's definitely a goal of mine is to find some pyros. They're just... To me, they're probably my favorite of the Lampropeltis genus. There's really nothing like them, and especially with how much variety there is throughout their range, you know, even down into Mexico, some of the Mexican pyros are incredible too.
Yeah.
So I love those snakes. So let's now get onto the good stuff, the scrub pythons. So. What's the size of the group and what are you working with over there?
So I'm just working with a pair of Wilminas right now. My female's probably 4 to 5 foot. And okay. Then I got a male that's probably 3 foot right now. He's small.
Okay.
Still.
Cool.
And then I got a reverse trio of tanabars. I got exanthic patterned. Xanthic patternless males, and then a female gold patternless.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and you know, I think that's one that everyone wants to hear from you about, because I feel like especially recently that the Tanimbars have been kind of on everyone's list. When did you first get into the Tanimbars?
Probably 2 years ago. I've always liked them. I always heard they were small. I always heard they were pissed off too. So I was expecting it coming in, but all of mine have been tolerable. Not
cool
coming out striking any of that. They've all been pretty calm for the most part, but I was expecting it coming in. I was like, they stay small, I can deal with them. That's the other reason I got Wominas too, because they're supposed to stay smaller. And I got an adult male to start with, and he's puppy dog tame. And then from there, I was like, oh, these are the coolest. I started reading more on them, and they're some of the coolest scrubs, in my opinion. I really like them.
Yeah, I agree. That's awesome that yours are super calm. I have some that are, and some that probably could be if I put a little bit more time into it. I found that they're a lot more nervous than the larger species of scrubs, at least in my small sample size. Kind of a little bit quicker to flee than like a Barnick or a Southern, which kind of makes sense, just that they're smaller snakes. I mean, I'm looking at my adult female right now in the distance. They're freaking badass. The male that you just got, is that your biggest Tanimbar now?
They are. So my two males are probably about the same size. I think this new one is probably a little bit bigger.
Okay, cool. And how big is he?
Probably 5 foot, six foot maybe.
So
for a guess, I mean, I haven't
small adult size.
Yeah, I haven't had him fully stretched out yet. I basically just put him in a quarantine tub and haven't messed with him since. He had a large quail today, so
cool. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I haven't messed with them too much.
That's good. Yeah, I feel like they've been a little harder to establish than like some Barnecks, but not quite as hard as like Halmaheras or Beaks for me.
Yeah.
Which has been definitely been nice. How far off do you think your female is from being up that size?
Probably 2 years.
Okay. So not
if I had to guess. Far. Yeah, not too far.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Are you on the hunt for a gold patterned animal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got feelers out there right now. If it's a female too, then I'll be set for That's the one, that's the number one that I'm looking for, but
because that's two pairs of one of each type, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably most people's ideal Tanimbar group right there.
Yeah.
And you're one step from making it a reality.
I'm hoping and praying.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that'd be fucking awesome. So for anybody who is kind of currently trying to research Tanimbars, because I hear from a lot of people that they're very intrigued, especially considering their size, but also they're beautiful. What would be some pieces of advice now as someone who's been keeping them for a while?
Well, it's all going to be wild caught for the most part. The only guy that I know is breeding them is not letting them go. So
he should be holding on to them.
Yeah.
I can't blame him.
So I've started all mine on birds. I've had just the easiest go around on birds, not even messing with rats.
Yeah.
I put mine in tubs just to start with, keeping it dark for them just to get like feel more comfortable. I put them right next to my TV too, so they're getting all those bright lights and everything, so that was probably not the smartest idea. But and just I don't really touch mine, honestly. I just leave them alone for the most part.
Yeah, let them get acclimated and then kind of try to forge that relationship a little bit.
Yeah, so it was probably like a good year after I got my mail that I really started pulling him out and all that. So
okay,
and he's calm as can be.
Good. Yeah, I think that's something that should be emphasized, especially for anyone who's newer with scrub pythons and getting wild caught animals in. That acclimation process is very important, and as many people will tell you, and you guys have heard it from Brandon, just leaving them alone is that's the most important part, is just making sure that they're settled in, making sure that they're eating, you know, let them put some of that captivity weight on before you really try to mess with them a whole lot.
And then I drop feed for the most part too. I don't just try to go in there and pesk them with it. I just drop it and leave it, and they'll come out and eat it usually.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I have some that'll do that. Some that'll tong feed now. But I mean, they're animals I've had for probably a little over a year now. Yeah, I feel like the ones I got that were smaller, as it is with a lot of wild caught pythons, they took to captivity a lot easier. I mean, I have a azanthic pattern male who I've had for like 2.5 years now, who even still will skip some meals every now and then. I'm like, you motherfucker, you know,
that's the biggest pain.
But yeah, it's just, you know, that's what happens with big wild caught python, you know, adult wild caught pythons, or, you know, older wild caught pythons, is that some adjust really easily and some take a while. And that just is unfortunately how it goes sometimes, but you gotta know what you're getting yourself signed up for.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yep. So on your Wamina pair, what are the origins of those animals?
So the female's wild caught. That was actually my first scrub, and she was a lot more tolerable to deal with than when I first got her, because she was still small. I think she was just right outside of that red phase.
Okay.
And then the male I got from Ryan Young.
Okay.
So that dude I can just pull out without an issue.
He's so pretty. You see a significant difference with the captive bred and the wild caught animal?
Yeah, 100%.
So is it just in the temperament, or is there anything else that kind of stands out to you?
The male will sit out a lot. Can you hear me?
We lost you for a second there.
All good?
We lost you for a quick second. Just start at the beginning of your answer again, if you don't mind.
Oh shit. So my male sits out a lot more. I can do anything in this room and he'll just be chilling all day. Female, if I go to do any of the racks on the side, then she'll just dart, go straight into her hide. But that's also me not messing with her basically since I've had her. I messed with her a little bit right after I got her, some newbie mistakes, and then she's just basically wild scrub again. But she eats and does everything fine. She'll eat off tongs.
Cool. Yeah, so just kind of part of that long game process of wild caught scrub pythons.
Yeah.
Yep. Hell yeah. Well, so I guess as we round out the scrub python in captivity topic, hint as to the next topic, what are like, do you have any other species or locality types or whatnot that you intend on adding?
Helms, 100%.
Yeah.
Helms are the next one I really want. Minus that, everything else is too big for me right now. I mean, I know helms get pretty big, but I can squeeze in some helms.
Sure. Yeah. And I feel like on the same kind of trajectory of tandem bars, helma hares are gaining a lot of popularity. I think it's well overdue, because I mean, they're about as special as a snake can get. They're just cryptic and unique, and they're, you know, they have a much more diverse color palette than I think a lot of people give them credit for.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh yeah. Well, I think it's about time for us to move to part two of the episode. So for anyone who's listening right now on streaming services, you definitely want to go to YouTube now, because otherwise this might suck from an audio experience. But so Brandon, let's preview everybody on what we're about to go through over here.
We're gonna go through some herping finds of scrub pythons.
And these have hopefully fairly accurate location data on them. So there's
INAT pins of a. I'm still frozen.
Yeah, it cut out for a second. I feel like we were saying the same thing at the same time. So anyway.
Just a bunch of INAT pins of scrub pythons.
Cool. So for anyone who's not up on the lingo, INAT being iNaturalist, a website where you can see lots of wild accounts of, I mean, really any species. It's not limited to reptiles, but for all of us who are into scrub pythons and particularly have any sort of interest in what are the true locality types of scrub pythons, there probably isn't a better resource online right now. And while there aren't a ton of different accounts, there's enough to where we can start to have a good idea. So if you want to pull that, or I had to pull that one up. So,
oh, there we go.
Here we go. I was kind of waiting for you and then I realized I had to do it. So that is Indonesia and Papua New Guinea and Northern Australia.
Yep.
So we're going to go through particularly the Papua New Guinea stuff, but we'll start on some of the exterior islands that are a lot more established as far as what we actually know comes from there. I feel like a lot of the confusion comes when you get onto mainland Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, 100%. So I guess we'll start on Halmahera.
Let's do it.
To begin with. So let's see. So the most north pin on here. Oh, I hate this. There we go. There you go.
Wow.
The thing is, I feel like that's more of like the normal ones you'll see coming in as a wild caught.
Sure. Most definitely. A lot more of a typical pattern. I mean, very beautiful color, but as far as that goes, definitely your classic Halmahera look.
Yeah.
And a young animal too, which is pretty cool to see in that.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, so this one was in the Barker's book. This thing is
ridiculous. Well, zoom in on that a little bit if you can.
Oh, I think it's as far as I can go.
Okay, cool. Well, that's definitely enough for anyone who's watching that. My God, that dorsal stripe is just, wow, that's incredible.
Ridiculous. And that seems like a more of a goldish pattern than you would normally see, too.
Yeah.
That contrast is ridiculous.
Definitely. I feel like that animal looks a lot like, as far as coloration goes, some of the captive breds we're seeing, like from especially some that Shane Adamson has posted, are just, I mean, they hurt your eyes. They're so bright. Definitely not what you would kind of generally think of as what Halmahera coloration is.
Oh, 100%.
So let's go on.
So let's see. Let's go through them quick. Oh, come on. Oh, there'll probably be some dead snakes in here too.
Yes.
Viewer discretion.
If there's anyone who is particularly sensitive to
graphic imagery, we'll skip that one.
And unfortunately, with herping, not every snake you find is a living snake. And often more times than not, especially if you're road cruising and whatnot, you will find more dead snakes than live snakes.
This is a roadkill one, but this one has a very light pattern to it.
Yeah. I've seen that in captive animals. I have one in particular that will go from, it's not captive bred, it's a wild caught, but it'll look like completely silver azanthic sometimes. And then it'll be a little more brown, but it'll always keep kind of the silver. I can't really point to the screen and make it make sense. But on that kind of the dorsal, you see how they're just there's the lighter pattern and the darker pattern underneath it. On the dorsal pattern, on the bands, it always stays silver, but then the base coloration will also kind of go silver at times. I wonder if that's just like a population-wide thing over there, or if there's different areas where the more silver animals are coming from.
This one's more on the east side of the island, too.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Let's see if this one also... Oh, come on. I hate these little tiny... But then here you go with another more of a normal...
Yeah. Much more typical. Very beautiful. Mm-hmm. A little more yellow in that animal. Yeah. God.
That thing is nice.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why, you know, people who first, you know, are learning about halmaharas immediately are like, yeah, I need some of these because they are all that. They're incredible. They really are.
I'm going to leave you staring at that one for half a second. I'll be right back.
All right. Yeah. The red eyes too, that's a really unique distinguishing factor about the halmaharas. They're very scrub like in a lot of ways, but they're also very much their own snakes. They're a lot more secretive. One thing that I find that is from a captive side that makes them different is when you go into their enclosure, even if they're sitting out or basking, they won't move until you engage them. If you touch them either with your hand or the hook or something or piece of cage furniture, where Barnex or Malukans or whatnot, they'll be keyed in on you either in feeding response or just in a general interest sense, where a halmahera of a kind of a similar profile, they'll just sit perfectly still until you interact with them first, and then that's you get some movement. All right, I killed time.
Fair enough.
So, all right, let's go on. Let's go on to what else we get. We got here.
Tight. So I don't know how much more you want to. I don't know how much more time we have left, but I'll hop.
We have plenty, but I think this will all lead to that one particular picture that I think we both want to pull up. You would know where that pin is better than me.
I believe it's that one. Yep, this fucking thing.
Oh, if you were listening on Spotify, go to YouTube right now.
Oh. So this thing, it's even got a pin on the pin. It says on the description, chilling after eating a bird in Avery. That thing is ridiculous. That looks like, was that your mail that you posted the other day that has that crazy pattern on top?
Yeah, I got a mail over. He belongs to Chad Brown. He's over here on breeder loan. I mean, very, very similar. Very similar pattern. And actually, if he's listening, Rob Stone the other day sent me a picture of another halmahera that is very similar to both this one and the one that I have. Okay. Makes you wonder if it's a population difference or if it's just like a striped morph that is floating around. Whatever it is, though, it seems to be something that is occurring in multiple animals, and it's just night and day different pattern wise than the rest of the halmaharas, which is freaking fascinating.
Yeah. So that is also too on the, I think that's the most south pin that's on here.
That would be a cool data point. What's that pin just to the northeast of it? That'll be an interesting one to.
Oh, this one's cool too. This one's a one eating one in a tree, a bird in a tree.
Oh, hell yeah. But then also very normal banded, typical banded halmahera pattern. So that to me would probably point more towards maybe a potential mutation floating around in wild populations, which is cool too. And it seems to be that way with a lot of scrub pythons, where like Azanthic is present in many of them.
Yeah.
Or like in the tandem bars, the pattern versus the patternless. And as anyone who listened to the Ryan Young episode last week, those are both recessive genes. So it could be the same way.
So I heard a thing. I know.
No, you go first and we'll hit the question. Oh,
okay. So I heard why the exanthic patternless come in so often and why they're found so more often is because they do so well on roads and the whole deforestation on the island. They're not preyed upon as often because they camouflage a lot more with all the deforestation and all that.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense for sure. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, like with humans, like with blue eyes, like it's a recessive mutation, but just certain mm-hmm. populations, for whatever reason, in Northern Europe, they're all blue eyed. Where like with the tannin bars, you know, with for whatever reason, habitat loss or whatnot, that having that gray color was advantageous. So more of those gray animals reproduced. And now, mm-hmm. even though it's a recessive gene, it's the overwhelming
majority coming in.
Yeah. Or even that are probably represented in the wild. Okay. Well, I'd love to hear that. But to go back to the first question, any intelligence differences in the scrub species?
You got a better answer to that than I do, because I only have a small sample size.
I think on an intelligence standpoint, I think they're all very similar. Like I was saying earlier with the Halmaharas, they're very different, where they're not quite as curious as like Amethystina and Clastolepis. They're a lot more secretive. They're not going to, you know, rarely will, if you open the enclosure, if they don't smell food in the area, they're not perking up and looking at you. You really have to touch them first before they even move.
They're more of like a flight than a fight, more than most of them, because a lot of the scrubs are more of a fighter than a flighter for the most part.
The reason why I like them is that they'll stand their ground. They'll look at you. You know, you can see all the intelligence going on upstairs. So, you know, I guess it's hard to totally quantify that, but I would say, you know, obviously I haven't worked with any of the Australian stuff. You know, the bigger species, the Amethystina and the Clastolepis, to me seem like they're more observant. They're kind of processing a little bit more than tannin bars and Halmaharas or even Biox. But then again, that's also depending on how you kind of quantify intelligence. So, yeah, let's move over to Raja Ampat over there.
You'll like this one. So this is the only one on this side of the island. So
we'll be getting into Barnek territory over here. And this is where a lot of the debate comes into play with scrub python locality types. It's okay. What's a sarong barnack? What's a...
Look at that thing, though. That thing is...
Yeah. So for sure, one thing that I'm confident in is that the Raja Ampat barnacks are quite different than the mainland Bird's Head Peninsula barnacks. Find me one that looks like that. I mean, Alexandra Aronova, she has one barnack that has a very Raja Ampat appearance to it.
Okay.
Wageo, you'd probably call it, but like I have never seen a captive barnack with that appearance. You know, it's almost kind of like a jaguar retic looking kind of like.
Yeah, it's got more of a precise pattern more than like it fading at all. It's more contrasty, like a pinstripey pattern.
Yeah, very very much so. Yeah, it's interesting. There's really very few connecting bars over the top, even though there's a lot of. Kind of what you're saying, that pinstripey look to it.
And then then once you go over to this side too, it's going to be, I believe it's a, oh, come on. Fuck you, Inet.
Sometimes it doesn't want you to click on these pins. It's gatekeeping these pictures from you. All right, we got it.
No, it's not much of, it's still got that. Oh.
Yeah, but then again, just very, very different than the mainland Bird's Head Peninsula barnacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, just very, very strange, but still you can tell very, very similar in a lot of ways.
There you go. That's a better one.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it is a very, very distinctive, unique look. Yeah, those animals are, those are cool. And you know, I feel like if you, you always kind of look at these and you wonder what would that, what would that be labeled at on an import list, you know, as on an import list, you know.
It's wrong.
I mean, probably. And it just, it's funny to me that, you know, some people are so firm in their beliefs, but, and obviously this doesn't really prove a whole lot, but I think at least for this particular instance, like, look at that. That's, yeah, that's incredible. To have a snake like that would really be, would be a dream.
This is, this one is reported in the city, so we'll see what this one. That. This. Got some stuck shit on it.
That, that definitely is different, but much more like that could definitely get passed off as a sarong.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to the last one we saw, the ass end of it has a lot more banding compared to the other one. The other one doesn't have any, from about here on, the other one didn't have much of banding at all.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the tail patterns are always very, very interesting to me. How some have light tails, some have dark tails, some have patternless tails, some have some of that, but that's very, very distinctive banding on the tail. That's, and you know, yeah, the neck bars are definitely different. The head pattern is different, but then like, if you kind of take like from like 2 inches down in the neck and then like maybe another, as a small animal, probably another 6 inches of neck, you know, very, very similar to some of the really high banded Bird's Head Peninsula animals. So definitely a place where confusion could be pretty easy.
There you go. So not more, so I mean it's hard to see the neck, but it's not much of a banded, it's more of like a,
like a web almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really,
and then not much banding at all going down the tail compared to the last one. You can see some of it, but it's not as distinct as the other.
And I wonder if that's a juvenile thing too. Again, anyone who's just listening, this won't do you much good, and if you don't watch, so I would implore you to head over to YouTube.
So this one's obscured, so it's going to be a lot harder to see, or not, you won't have any details of where it's at.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of another, you know, could easily get passed off as some sort of Bird's Head Peninsula locality. Yeah.
It's just very strange. Oh, where's my fucking mouse? Let's see. Oh, here you go. This one's way more broken banded for sure.
Yeah. But then like on the sides, that, that kind of dashed porthole looking pattern, that's very unique to the mainland Barnex.
And then that's right, I'm assuming his head's right here, so it's,
I think it's right in the middle there. Yeah.
Oh, his head, I think his head's up there. Okay. I see.
Yeah, it looks like the crest of the head.
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. And it just, you know, it's cool that we have these data points as limited as they are, but
you know, then this one, something. Go on.
No, just it tells us, this is like a first step to really understanding, you know, the extent of what we can figure out about these animals. So anyway, now we're down south. Are we mainland officially, or this is just right?
It's
off?
Like an island off of, so Sarong's right there is what it's.
Cool. Okay.
So it's right off. I think this is a dead one, if I remember correctly.
We will find out.
Yeah. So this one's on the beach.
Okay.
So I don't know if we'll get much of a much of anything off of it. Yeah, and I think it's all belly too. Yeah.
It looks like it's been decayed a bit. Yeah, well, womp womp. You win some, you lose some. That's
so yeah. Here's the closest pin. I think this one's alive.
Okay. So this is this
that is not alive.
No, but this is interesting because this is right at Sarong.
Yeah.
And you know, people are very staunch on Sarong or Dark Banded, Sarong or Dark Banded. Obviously we don't have a lot to go off of here, but just on that base color alone, that animal wouldn't probably be called a Sarong on an import list. Light tail, some pattern on the tail. I feel like that would also not be labeled a Sarong on an import list. So to me, that's, you know, it's very interesting to see. I wish there were more pins over there. Unfortunately, they're not. But as we go through the rest of the Bird's Head Peninsula, we can kind of associate these different phenotypes with what they would probably be called.
And then the other thing that's a pain too is like these, they love headshots, but it doesn't help us much at all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you see some pattern there. You don't see a ton of pattern. It looks like a pretty typical looking barnack by all accounts.
So have you ever noticed much of the banding on the head coming under the eye? Have you ever noticed that at all? Like yeah. Some are less that are. There's more that'll come up to the nose compared to some that'll just stop basically right here.
I would have to pay a little more attention, but I would say most of them probably don't pass through the eye too much. I had a clutch in 2022 that a lot of them had these like almost like highlighter blush spots on their head. They're like okay. light yellow. It was really interesting. But then obviously once we get into captive bred animals, then it's like, okay, is that a product of a cross or is that just natural variation? You know, it's hard to say when really have you know, you're only really guessing at that point.
Yeah.
So this is over. Is
right below Manaquari.
So this is Manaquari is another one of those distinctive locality types, so to speak.
So this is also, I believe it's in a bucket too, below a. I don't know words too well. You can try to pronounce that. I don't know where that area is.
We are probably a few hours south of Manaquari is what we'll call it. So
that's a go on.
It's reduced, but not probably quite as reduced as some would like it to be for that label. And the side portholes, I feel like, are also associated with the Sarong label, which, I mean, quite clearly this animal is far away from Sarong and has that. So I you know, I'd be curious to see like a few of that animal's siblings to see how much variation there may be. But I mean, from a very limited number of pins, I think already we can tell that doesn't seem to be a trend in the Bird's Head Peninsula as far as like phenotype. The Bird's Head Peninsula compared to Raja Ampat, crazy difference. But within from east to west, I guess it still remains to be seen, but nothing definitive as far as what we can find here on the old INAT. So yeah, let's go down south first and then.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. So this is Key Island.
Yes.
These ones will blow your fucking mind.
Let's do it. Mind is ready to be blown.
So this one's right next to the Bay Beach area. Come on, you stupid motherfucker. Come on.
Click, goddamn it. Key Island time. Dun, 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 dun.
Come on, load.
The suspense is killing.
Yeah, that thing is fucking nice.
Yeah, that tracks with my understanding of what those those animals are. Actually, I'm going to email myself a picture real quick to
pull
up on screen. You can go through some of the other key. Oh, is that the same snake?
This is the same snake.
Wow, look at that. Holy shit. Yeah,
look at that fucking tail, dude.
Yeah, the aberrant pattern. That's, see, yeah, when the first pictures of Key Islands were circulating, some people were very like, that is a Clastolepis. That's a Clastolepis through and through. And when you look at the tail, you know, I mean, if you just take the last 15% of the snake, you'd probably call it a Clastolepis. But you look at the rest of the snake, and it is very obviously something completely different.
So if I'm being honest with you, I wasn't looking that hard at them when I first started looking. I thought these were Clastos.
Yeah.
And then I finally realized, I stopped being fucking dumb and realized they weren't fucking Clastos. Because some of these snakes, I think that's the only one on the west side of the island. There's one south, and I think there's a lot more on.
Okay.
Let's see. Shit's frozen.
Well, let's go through the
road. Yeah, so this is the east side. Oh, come on. I hate how the dot gets fucking smaller every time. This is the one that made me think it was a class, though. This thing is ridiculous.
Wow.
That's a nice snake.
It's amazing that that's not a Clastolepis, but what I will say, and I'm trying to pull this picture of mine up before I go too much further, and so far my phone is failing me. But what to me is the distinguishing factor is those kind of those silver markings.
Yeah.
Young Clastolepis will get that, but they'll fade probably by about 3 years old. And I've only seen that in a handful of them. But I mean, that thing is fucking incredible. That's, you know, and I think there's, I'd love to see, you know, I'd love to see more of them around.
100%.
Which to my knowledge, there's maybe three in the US, if that, two, maybe three.
There's another one that's right over here. Oh, and then one that's not much farther up the road. Meet you. This one's dead, but oh, it ate a blue tongue.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that's...
Oh, it might have regurged the blue tongue.
Yeah, it does. I would agree with that.
That one's a lot darker, though, in between all of the goldish bars. And it still has all the silver, as you were saying before.
Yeah.
Along the sides, on the little portholes or... the bars to portholes or whatever you call them.
Yeah, definitely very interesting. My technology is just failing me tonight.
And then this one is about center of the main part of the island. Oh. Main road.
Let's see.
If it'll let me click on it. There we go. This one's just a headshot.
Okay. But I feel like that's very, very similar to that first one we saw.
Mm-hmm. With a fatty tick on his lip.
Yeah.
But you can see, yeah, I feel like the gray is a lot more prevalent. And you can even see on the back. Oh, stop. stop messing with it. All the way through here, too, is a lot more prevalent than the rest of them, as far as the photo shows.
All right. I may have finally gotten it. Yeah.
Right. Let's pop it up.
Bro. Okay. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Before we leave Key Island.
Go for it. Pop it up.
All right. All right. All right. I hope this is worth the anticipation. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That thing is fucking nice. Holy fuck.
He just shed a couple of days ago. And I've had the snake for 3 years. And this is, like, by a long shot, the brightest it's ever been.
Yeah.
So But so this is my male Key Island scrub. And as anyone who's watching the video can see, he's got a lot of those gray markings. But then look to the tail, and that's looks like a Moluccan tail. But also, they don't have Classilepis heads. The Classilepis have wider, shorter heads. I mean, this to me, it's like an Aru or a Highland head. It's like a southern type scrub python head, which makes sense because that's where the island is located. I mean, I didn't even know that these existed until I had the opportunity to get this guy. I mean, they're incredible, especially considering the animals that are on Aru, which I think is probably what we will go over to next.
So Aru only has one pin, and it is a dead skeleton.
Oh, never mind. Well,
I mean, we can look at the skeleton real quick if you want to see some snake teeth, but we can make it quick. That whole island, they only got one pin.
Okay. Well, I might actually be able to pull up one of my own just for shits and gigs.
Yeah, we'll look at the skeleton real quick while you pull one up. And that's even if that is what it is. I mean, my guess would be, that's what it is. Oh. Record presumably two pythons in Rhode Island, southern green tree pythons, and so that's either a green tree or a south or a scrub, and I'm guessing it's a scrub.
Yeah. Well, for anyone who's interested, since we don't have anything to go off of, that is.
Oh, that thing hit.
But you can see, I mean, the color on this animal is similar to some of those Key Islands, but kind of more on the orange side. The tail is a little hidden. If you can kind of see near the middle of the body, you can see how the tail pattern kind of changes in a very similar fashion to the way the Key Island does. But those silver markings are absent from the Aru animals. Yeah.
It's got a really dark tone to it too, darker like green tone to it.
Yeah, they're different, but they're definitely the most similar to the Key Island, and as it should be, they're right next to each other geographically, so it would make sense. But that to me is really cool. Yeah, okay. We have confirmation.
So we'll pop on to.
All right.
Oh, I missed that part. What happened?
Oh no! Just Scott confirms the dentition is that of Somalia. So,
okay,
that was in fact a scrub carcass.
Okay, cool. So these are Tamika, the Highland, I guess you would call it. So you is the closest to the Highland area, I would say. Right. So I don't know what they call this whole area.
I mean. There you got, Tanamera over there, Tamika. But this is gonna be an interesting part, and I think it'll open some eyes because we have these scrubs that we call Highlands. And they have some distinguishing markers. And let's look at some of these animals from over in this tier Tamika region and see what they look like.
Well, we'll start with the one at the lowest level on the beach. Yes. And
the lowest elevation we can.
Yeah. And this thing is ridiculous. I've looked at this picture a million times. Look at that fucking thing. It's almost It's almost got a.
It's got like a tannin bar pattern to it, damn near.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, tannin bar pattern.
Sure.
But not a tannin bar head.
Right. Yeah. Very amethystina head. I've never seen this picture before. So this is fucking badass.
Compared to that boot too. So that's not a small snake.
No, I mean that snake's probably 9 feet long to 10 feet long. That's a big adult male right there, or a decent sized adult male.
3 years ago, fucking, yeah. Let's see. So we'll work our way up down this river, I guess. Salt marsh thingy. I don't know what you'd call it.
So for reference, how far off from the ocean are we?
Not very.
Okay.
Usually they have like the meter scale on here too. So from there to there, whatever you want to guess that is, probably.
Okay. But definitely not to where this would be
50 miles. In Highlands. No, not at all. Highlands, it's closer to the ocean than it is to the Highlands.
Yeah.
So I would say the Highlands are all right here. But I did watch a video not too long ago. This botanist posted a video of being in the Highlands when he was not in the Highlands also. So I don't know if that's what, like, they're calling it or what it is. I'm not smart enough to tell you all that, but...
Yeah. Well, I guess this
is still pretty low.
This pans.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. I'm clicking on you. It does have some of that gray-ish.
Yeah.
So but I also can't tell from the flash of the or light. Right. Too, so.
Yeah, but it's definitely getting into kind of what you would phenotypically call a Highland animal. Which I think is definitely, it's interesting. Considering that this is not, probably not an animal at a very high elevation. And I think, the conclusion draws, you know.
So this airport, I Googled this airport. This airport's at 300 foot elevation.
Okay, so
that's below the airport. So it's not a high limbed animal. It's not high up anywhere.
No. So that should be telling us to the accuracy of this label we've given these snakes.
But another question is, who gave this label to them, the importers or the people who brought them in?
Right, exactly. And because like another name that was associated with this, well, and this is actually the perfect animal to show this on, so was the name Oxibil. To my understanding, there are no scrubs in Oxibil. And that yellow chin right there, I think, is representative of what kind of
an Oxibil animal would be labeled.
Yeah. That I love that particularly that look. I have a female that's like almost identical to that snake.
Oh, that's still got that tannin bar fucking pattern with that yellow ass. Oh, that's me. That's fucking.
But yeah, but up top it's almost kind of like a almost like kind of Aru-ish pattern, very like diamonds and you know,
yeah,
speckly pattern. So cool.
I wish I could point it out without it moving. There you go. Yeah, all these small diamonds along. Yeah, and then with that dark or that dark base pattern, and then it goes to the belly with all that gray along with it.
Yeah, and then those, it's funny because they're not really orange bars because it's kind of like the color of the belly, but the way that yellowish orange is creeping up is, you know, that's another one of the indicators of the Highland type,
yeah,
as we call it. But then again, this is a very low elevation area that these animals are in. So keep that in mind.
There you go. There's one in the fucking... That's the same snake, I'm assuming. I'm going to leave you on that picture real quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is... For one, that'd be awesome to come across that. But yeah, I mean, that to me, if that was on an import list, would be called a Highland. Or an Orange Highland or Oxibil. You know, it would be given... Some label that would increase the value to a prospective customer other than calling it a Southern, which to me, it's funny to even consider that a label would be, would make something more or less valuable than just what it is itself. But, you know, I think as we learn more about this and have more, you know, examples, these animals that are like this and similar, you know, it might be more accurate to call them Tamika types than island types. Especially that being a misnomer, considering that these animals aren't coming from any sort of a highland environment. They're coming from fairly low elevation at times, and there may be some that are higher up, but this animal is very close to sea level.
Very. Okay, I'll get out of that. Oh, how do I? So another snake across the road from it. I think it's just a head picture, but you can still see all that white and a little bit of orange, but it's probably just how the sun reflects on it too.
Yeah. Very similar to that other snake. It's kind of like a shade brighter. But those pins are very close together, so I mean, that makes
perfect sense. Yeah, I think these are all majority. It's a dark one, very dark one. But it's probably no light shining on it either, too. So
could even be going into shed or in shed, too. Can't really see the eyes from that angle. But highlighter yellow chin, similar pattern, kind of similar phenotype to what we're seeing on the rest of the animals from this area. I am quite the fan of.
They're all within, like, the cities right here, too. So, and I think it's the same dude that's finding all these snakes. Yeah, it's been the same dude finding all these snakes also.
Okay, that makes sense.
And look at the head on that motherfucker. In shed, dark.
Yeah.
All within, I think these were all 3 years ago, too, is what it looks like. And when he posted them, at least. So this is also, you got to take this with a grain of salt of when this dude posted it and all that.
Sure. I would definitely be interested as to know how far and wide these animals of this phenotype are occurring. And then also, I guess, then that lends into the accuracy of the pins as well, which we're all, as we're saying, taken with a grain of salt. But again, same kind of deal with that animal.
And then I think this is the highest north one that's posted, and this was on a road. And that's a very big snake.
Yeah, and fucking gorgeous too. But then again, I mean, very similar in many ways to the rest of these animals that we've been seeing. You know, the colors are all a bit different. That's one of the lighter individuals, but very similar pattern, similar kind of that yellow chin, yellow bar on the side. Mm-hmm. You know, overall, very, very much the same snake.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's all for the quote-unquote highland animals. I guess we can hop over to – what's that?
From over there, because we have some animals coming on the east side that look eerily similar.
Yeah. So you want to hop?
Yeah, let's hit that one down and down right there first. We'll go up top.
Okay. Yeah. Not much of a photo, but still got some light pattern. It's a lot darker than the rest, though. Yeah,
for sure. And
it's more, you know, like southern, right?
I feel like it's kind of in between. And when we go back to the map, we'll see. You know, it's not quite so south as Maruki, where a lot of the light tan southern animals are coming from. If you guys can see in that little map over there. Definitely kind of like in between Tamika and Maruki, kind of geographically, a little bit more inland, but definitely nowhere near the mountains.
Yeah, that's a good, 200 miles away, 100 miles away?
Oh, I have probably more. I have no idea of scale, but you know, enough distance to where you would bet that there is some good amount of genetic drift as far as their appearance goes. So, but yeah, now we're going back up to the northern types. So this is interesting because this is right around Jayapura, and there's a lot of Jayapura barnecks that are labeled as such. So before we get to there, should they be called Tamika then? I mean, potentially. I think that the limited data on iNaturalist is a step in the right direction. And maybe they should be. Go ahead.
Go on.
No, I was going to say, I use the term Highland because it's generally an agreed upon term. And it also it's not associated with a place. You know, I'd rather call them Highlands than Oxabills because I know the Oxabill to be false for sure. Highland isn't a place. It's, you know,
a broad span.
It's like, okay, it's a reference to like a level of elevation, which is not accurate to these snakes. But again, as we're about to see, we call Wamina scrubs. And what are they, in fact? So,
well, the other thing too is this where a lot of them are flying out of this area, is out of this airport?
Right.
So,
right. So there's,
that's the only main airport that you can see that'll pop up on here.
And it's no coincidence that the pins are close to the airport. You know, I bet getting out further west of there has got to be pretty difficult. So, you know, who knows how far that phenotype truly ranges. All right, yeah, well, let's get to these northern animals now.
Well, hit them with the one that's straight in Jayapura first before we hit them with the heat.
All right, let's do it. So this is, if this pin is accurate, this is as Jayapura can get.
Well, so this is also a collected animal too, so we don't know where they collected it from also. So that could just be one that got brought into the city and whoever took the picture posted on it in the city.
Yeah.
So
that animal. From a distance, I would, as a from hobby speak, call that a patternless southern. There have been animals from the Jayapura area that are patternless like that. The main distinguishing factor would be the color of the tongue. We do not have the luxury of seeing this animal's tongue. So as Brandon was saying, this is obviously at a facility. This could be an animal that was collected down south, brought up north. But no matter what, it's very interesting to see that there.
So this is some heat. This snake is ridiculous.
Is that what I think it's going to be? Once iNaturalist lets us see it. Oh!
Fucking Christ.
Yeah, this is a... Damn!
Yeah. Have you seen one darker than that? Because that's probably the darkest scrub I've ever seen.
Absolutely not. I've seen comparable and lighter, but I've definitely never seen one that dark.
Let's go to the glory shot. Dude, that thing is fucking tight.
Yeah. And I remember we were on the NPR Discord talking about that animal. And I think someone asked if that animal was gravid. And I think from looking at these pictures up close, no, that animal is most certainly not gravid. And it may potentially even be a male.
A male. That's what I was thinking with that head.
Its head structure. I think that animal is probably a male. And considering the thinness of the tail compared to the verticality of the tail. So that is just, that's a dark, dark, dark animal.
That thing is ridiculous. And
you know, location wise, very close.
It's on a lake too. So I don't know if you've been near camping down near water. It gets really cold down water, but I know this is still Indo, but like when you're near water, it's still gonna be a lot colder than you are near fucking.
Yeah, most definitely. But that animal, if that was imported, would be a Wamina on the list. And geographically speaking, we are a whole hell of a lot closer to Jayapura than we are to Wamena, which is much further south, a bit west, and near the mountains.
Isn't Wamena like this area?
Roughly, yeah. Yeah. So, and I do know of an account of a scrub python from Wamena. I have yet to see the image of it, but it did not look like what we call Wamena. So in my eyes, and if I am lucky enough to like produce these animals, I think I'm going to label them Jayapura parentheses Wamena. That's what we call them. But in reality, Jayapura is likely the appropriate label, the same way Tamika is likely the appropriate label with what we're calling Highlands. But I think in this case, it's a lot more cut and dry than the Highland debate.
Yeah. So this would be this is a dead snake, but this is more of a typical Wamena looking snake.
And what's interesting is that this is on the eastern side. So this is in PNG, yeah, where we are not accessing. So what
closer
I think
more to the mountains too, also.
Yeah. What I think is cool, and potentially what we're looking at here, is that in the northern types of these mainland scrub pythons, the barnecks are basically like the west, like the northwest scrub, and the Waminas, so to speak, Jayapuras, are the northeast scrub, and the western extent of that range is probably Jayapura, because as you'll see, these animals are extending out east into PNG with this phenotype. Because I've seen Waminas, Jayapuras in the U.S. that look almost identical to that animal, and that animal is significant.
My female looks just like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So then from here, it starts tapering down. This one's very Highland, if it's actually where it's from.
Yeah.
I can't tell if it's obscure or not. No, it's a pin. Come on. So these are some natives that I'm assuming killed the snake, but you can't see much of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a difficult.
Oh, that doesn't really do us too much good.
Maybe they caught it in the lowlands and brought it up to their village. That's because you can see there's roads right there, and you know, obviously there's that's an area of civilization.
Yeah.
But yeah, that just seeing the belly on that one is kind of hard to tell exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So this is another higher, I'd say, elevation, but it's hard to
on the way up of the mountains.
And it's just a head picture.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Oh. Yeah, so again, very much that kind of Jayapura-y look, but I think it's a little bit, it's distinctive to the animals that we see, that kind of weird granity pattern. And that little like notch on the eye stripe there is very interesting.
Where it kind of wants to start banding over the top, but it didn't.
Right. Oh, and that could just be.
Yeah, because a lot of the.
Go for it.
No, go for it. You already go.
What I was going to say is that could also just be a one-off abnormality. You know, so it's hard to read too far into that. So what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, because a lot of the Waminas I've seen, patternless or not, they have a lot of that, like, no banding all the way down, have that darker contrast. Like, you can still see the dark peeking out of it, where it kind of almost... It's hard to say. I wouldn't say want a band, but it's like you can see where the base color is that black almost, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe not. Okay. So, I didn't even see this one. This is an obscure, definitely, because this is in the fucking ocean, but we'll start with this one.
Aquatic.
Okay, so this has almost that, like the last one we just looked at. Oh, come on. Where it's got that band and then where it wanted to peak up.
Yeah.
It's starting to band again.
Yeah.
Let's see what the other pictures show.
But it definitely still has that, that what we would call Jayapura look, as even as far east as this animal's population is extending.
It's got all those black scales, or that black peeking in through the band with the black lips.
Yep.
Oh, come on, come on. Why are you being slow? Probably, oh, yeah, a little bit. And then you get that dark banding on the tail.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to, it's very interesting, though.
Yeah, it doesn't help us much.
But then again, that's kind of very indicative of the Jayapura Wamina-y looking. So, it, you know, could just be that that's the northeastern population, and it extends pretty far and wide.
There you go.
Now, this is a little different. And this is something that you won't see pictures of many other places. Yeah, definitely. That tail contrast is very stark.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Let's see. How do I? Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Picture. This one has a lot of pictures on it, so it should help a little bit. But this is also yet again collected. Also, so
yeah. But then look at the mid box
I found.
That's different, though. That's I feel like, you know, we're seeing, okay, this is how these animals change the further we go east, because that it has kind of a resemblance of like a Jayapura, but in a lot of ways, I mean, it almost looks like a cross between like a Jayapura scrub and like a Brisbane coastal carpet, you know?
Yeah, like kind
of the middle where that banding exists. I know it's kind of, it's a little bit of a stretch, like, the color
right about here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll show you some real coastal scrub looking snakes, but that'll be in a bit. We'll get through this.
I know where we're gonna go.
Yeah. Oh, come on. This is the real head turner. This is also 2008 too, when this was fucking posted.
Okay.
Oh, fucking
ridiculous. So what the fuck is going on there? Yeah, that's not anything that we've seen.
Yeah, I've never seen anything with that color or that kind of pattern with that deep of a tail band going down into it.
And what's really interesting to me is with the northern Amethystina populations, the further east you go, the more you lose the bands on the neck. But then that has two very distinctive, thin but distinctive neck bands. And that
I wish I can zoom in more.
I know, right? But that's super curious. And we were talking about this animal beforehand. I said it almost looks like you bred a barneck to a Timor python. No one do that, for the love of God.
Someone probably already has.
But like, you know, especially the top half of the body, that's kind of what I can equate it to. That's,
well, and then it's almost got that slight banding that's like that bleeding in color, that black right above the eyes too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got it. It's like the Anthony Davis. It's got a unibrow.
Dude, this thing's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, for anyone who's newer to scrub pythons, we don't have access and probably never have to these animals that are on the eastern side of the island. The country is very strict about import, export, and even letting people go there. So there's no reason why these are so foreign looking to us, is because we've never seen anything like this in captivity in the States. So, you know, other than some of the Barker books where there are some images, other than that, and like iNaturalist, you really aren't seeing pictures of scrub pythons from this side of the island.
So one of the Barker's books has a snake that's from about this area. I think there's one or two
Okay.
that are in this province. province right around this area. I'd have to, I'll send it to you later.
Okay.
That'll take a minute for me to find. But, so this is the most on the mainland island. This is the most south snake that's been, south scrub that's been seen on there.
Okay.
Let's take come a look. On, come on. If it'll fucking let me. There we go. Oh, I know what this one is. You're not going to see much of it, but you can get a little bit from the...
This snake is super interesting to me, and we'll get into that why in a second, but that is...
Yellow chin fades out, and then it's got that weird banding going down to... Or the yellow coming in and out once it starts getting to the bottom. And then... Let me see the next picture. And then you can't see, you can still see a little bit of the side, which doesn't look right much there at all. And then it just goes all tail.
So to me, this is super interesting because obviously for anyone who's been watching through us going through all of these, that's all, I mean, very, very similar to the Tamika animals, which makes me wonder if maybe Highland isn't the right term and like, the like basin, you know, like this is like the base of the mountains is where this.
Well, this one's off right off the beach. Let me see if I can.
Oh, is it? Oh, wow, yeah, it is.
Never this mind. One's like this. Oh shit.
Oh no.
This one's not far from the beach.
Okay.
So that's probably fucking 100 feet, 200 feet from, 300 feet from the beach. I couldn't tell you exactly. Usually on the phone, it'll give you like meters and all that. And you can go off of all that, but this you can't really go off of,
but it looks like almost walking distance from the beach.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a trail for sure.
That makes me really curious. What is the consistency with that? What we call Highland look banding, because they obviously are occurring south of the island, seemingly east to west throughout Papua New Guinea. So that makes me wonder what is that link? What is the consistency of that phenotype? And obviously we're not going to go ahead.
Well, I'm going to leave you with some heat real quick. This is an island. This is an obscured view. But this is, and from what I can tell, it's off this fucking island. I don't even know what island this is. I'll leave you with this, and I'll come back to it. I got to figure out why my dogs are losing their shit right now. Where'd it go? I sent you this, dude. So this is also from 2009, too. So
yeah, so this thing is just... leaves you scratching your head because it's got a very scrub body type and it has those kind of red Halmahera eyes, but obviously very, very far from Halmahera and damn near like a carpet python pattern. This one is getting much closer to Australia as we go east and as we go south. But not really looking like the Australian scrubs from like a body type standpoint to me, or even from like a pattern. I feel like the color is definitely a lot closer. But then that's also relatively speaking, really. So yeah, I mean, as he said, this is an obscured pin, but this is what really is exciting to me is that there's animals like this that we really have no idea what is going on here, but it's obviously something very, very different than what we're used to and what we have seen historically. To me, it begs the question, what is there left to be found? You know, obviously a lot, but like even close by some of the locations where these animals that we do work with come from, you know, because this animal obviously being likely an island type was, you know, that makes a difference, but it was relatively close to areas where there are scrub pythons that look a lot like scrub pythons that we are familiar with. even though they are from the other side of the island. So that to me just, you know, makes you scratch your head a bit, because this snake is crazy looking. I mean, it almost has kind of like a juvenile Bolin's look in a certain part of it as well. It's just very, very strange snake. Is this the only picture of this animal?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good enough picture. I'm not complaining, but
it's a Biak scrub, right?
A Biak, a Hera, Bolin's jungle. Or,
I think we did miss one that I won't disappoint you with. Fuck, where is it? Where the fuck was that one snake? There was one snake. I thought it was Biak. I don't even know if I'm in the right fucking area.
Yeah.
But there was one. Oh, motherfucker. Okay, remind me. Where's Biak at?
It's right around there.
Okay, there's one snake. This might be one of the ones that was reported as just a python. But it's not a good picture. It's not a great picture because the snake was moving, but you can tell what it was 100%. It looked just like this snake.
Okay. Then it probably was then. A Biak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool snake.
Yeah, crazy. Like I was saying when you were gone, it has like Halmahera eyes.
Yeah, the very dark eyes. Let's see. Come on.
Yeah, it was like burgundy eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So we're probably coming down to the end. We got just to go a little bit north, and then
yeah, I'll hit you with some. A lot, they're all dead, so I'll tell you that. There's only the New Britain ones. There's none on New Georgia, but I'll hit you with the main big ones, and I'll show you the. So they think there's two. It's a subspecies in Australia between Kinghorn Eye. So I'll show you the top end and the more south ones too.
Okay,
but we'll start with this one real quick. This one has multiple pictures. Look at that. Even just from the head, that thing is. Come on. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, unlike any other scrub python.
Oh, 100%. Look at that thing. That thing I would think is a Darwin mixed with a.
With a Cuban.
I don't even know what kind of scrub. yeah, honestly. The thing is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if they're just going to get killed, they might as well just ship them off here then.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like they don't want us to have them, but you're just going to kill all of them. Yeah, exactly what killed it, too, is that fucking weed whacker.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking some bullshit.
Yeah, Rob says looks like a rough scale scrub. I mean, damn near.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. Seriously.
Let me see. So there's another big one. These are all obscured, of course. It's like anybody's gonna go there. It fucking matters. This thing ate something, I'm assuming.
If this is the picture, I think it is. This is very important for people to see.
Yeah. So there's a head. I'm assuming it ate something. I mean,
I'd hope so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that it has like a
look. Pattern. That's all Darwin. That looks like my reduced pattern Darwin's, honestly, with those ocelots in it.
Yeah.
That super weird. That head screams Tanabar and Darwin. It's ridiculous.
That yeah. Crazy. But then the snake looks like it's pretty decent size. You know, that's probably about a 9-footer.
Dude. Yeah. And then there's one more. I believe it's this one. I think they compared it to a girl. Yeah, compared it to a toddler. And that was in 2023. This was recent.
Okay.
This was last year. a 5-year-old girl for scale. So I don't know how old how tall 5-year-olds are, but I'm assuming that's
not that tall.
8-9 foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with it bending over almost, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, but I mean that's a decent, a very decent sized snake.
It's fucking ridiculous. That's the island one. This is all. So, I guess we'll pop in last little bit. The top end scrubs.
Yes, we have a few pictures courtesy of Scott to round out our scrub viewing of the evening. If you're still in the chat, Scott, let me know when we pull them up where these animals are from, if you'd like. But they're beautiful animals, beautiful pictures. But yeah, let's check out a few of these.
Look how dark that fucking thing is.
Wow. Yeah. That looks
still got those little diamonds.
It looks a lot like that one. That was really far west, south on the mainland of PNG. Yeah, that's crazy looking.
I think there's only one picture on that one, and that's not even the most. Oh, and then there's one on the island off of Australia. I don't know how far that island is, but
okay.
Oh, it's someone's hand. It's probably a fucking. See, we'll go with this one. Still got that very dark.
That's interesting.
I can't tell what that is. Okay, it's another dark.
Yeah.
Look at that neck.
Yeah, that's crazy how intricate and strange that pattern is. Yeah, let's hit a couple more of these, and I think it's about time we wrap over.
You got Scott's pictures ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll hit one more and then we'll go to the south. So there's a very big gap between this northern section and then the southern too. So
cool.
This is, I think, the most south one on this northern side.
Okay. I feel like that's starting to get a lot more kind of King Horn Eye looking.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
And then the iron. Oh, and that's crazy too. Is they got a lot on the west side and a lot on the east side of it too. Mm. I guess we'll.
Let's hit one and two of them.
Come on. Oh, good enough. Very King Horn Eye.
Yeah,
let's see if the east produces anything different. Fucking A.
Wow, beautiful. But yeah, definitely very much on that same wavelength.
I can't zoom in any more than that. And then we'll hit the south part of it, and then
yeah, quite a few pins over here.
Yeah, there's a couple. Fuck, you might need to show just all of pins. This takes so much damn time. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Elamon, come on. Okay, so it's a lot more of that base pattern going down. Yeah. What it looks like. Let's see what the next photo shows. And it looks like that I don't even know, that lip band doesn't go as far down either. Yeah. I don't know if that's much. I've noticed that on a lot of different ones, but it's like a subtle pickup, I guess. Okay. Yeah, there you go. It's more of that. I don't know. It seems a lot more lighter compared to the top end, when the top end had a lot more dark on top.
Yeah, definitely.
It had like a darker base than a lighter base, I guess.
Yeah. Very cool.
Oh yeah, hit Scotty's pictures.
Yeah, it's actually a good thing he just came back. So we're gonna pull up your pictures if you wouldn't mind. If you want to let us know where these individuals are hailing from, that would be awesome. But this is first. That's a pretty close up shot, but definitely,
yeah.
You can see in the background, it's a lot of intricacies in the color palette, kind of some kind of burnt highlights coming in.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. So he says Iron Range.
Iron Range.
And then we got.
So that would be. Oh, you got the picture. Iron Range is more up north, I believe. Like.
So
would
this,
that be this way, Scott?
So it's interesting. He says this snake, the Iron Range, is Amethystina.
So, yeah, that would be more this range, then, I'm assuming.
Then we have our second animal here. So, yes to that.
Okay.
Another beautiful animal. I feel like definitely a little bit lighter overall than that first individual.
That thing is tight.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to pronounce
it. Looks like it has. What's that?
I'm not sure how to pronounce that word, but if you're looking at it on the screen, Waipa?
Waipa? Weepa?
That is where it is coming from.
Can you do an Australian accent and pronounce that?
What? Well, no. So it says another northern type Amethystina. And then we got this animal right here, a lot more pale, some cool stripe, really cool side stripe.
Oh, on the side. Yeah. It's almost like inlands have that pattern almost with that side striping.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is a stunning, stunning snake right there. So that is west coast of the Northern Cape York Peninsula.
So this-ish area, I'm assuming.
I hope so.
Scott, type faster. That is the Mission River OAP. Oh, it might say it on the fucking OAP.
Near Rocky Point.
Oh, right there. Right in that little fucking.
Okay, hell yeah. And then we have our last scrub right here, which darker photo, but I think darker animal individual. Anyway, still that side stripe, which is beautiful, but definitely richer on the base dark pattern than the lighter that we've seen in some of the other individuals.
Yeah. Where's that one from, Scotty? Mission River. Up, down, south, left, right.
Yeah.
I love this shit, dude. I've never been this deep looking into them.
Me either. Up. We are in search of Mission River. Two Americans looking for Mission River.
Jackson River. Skardon River.
Getting colder.
Is it big enough it'll pop up? Oh, there it is, right there.
All right. So yeah, similar area. Okay.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you, Scott, for those pictures. Some beautiful snakes.
And that's all in all of that, like, what would you call it? Like,
in the development.
I would say, developed area.
Yeah.
That's great cool. That these big-ass snakes are still making it through this.
Yeah.
Like, you're not finding it through all of this. You're finding it through all the developed part.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of them are kind of akin to the bodies of water around them. So, mm-hmm. This has been really cool to go through all this. And I hope for everyone who is watching it, this shines some light on some of the confusion that's out there in terms of scrub python locality types. And obviously it was really cool to see some of this Australian stuff. We're approaching the end here. Thank you for your time tonight. This has been awesome. I love going through that. You know, when we decided on that idea, I was like, this is going to be cool. It's going to be different, but this is definitely going to be a cool way to go about an episode.
Hell yeah.
For anyone who wants to keep up on what you're doing, follow you on social media, where can they find you?
Just Cult Serpents on Instagram. You can add me on Facebook, but I don't post much of anything on Facebook. I can respond to messages on Facebook, but mainly Instagram.
Okay.
At Cult Serpents.
Hell yeah.
Brandon Valentine's my Facebook. So
cool. Well, dude, this has been awesome. Thank you again for your time. I'm going to throw you backstage real quick and close out the show, but thank you again for your time and have a good night, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there it is, guys. Episode 8 and definitely a very different look compared to what we've been doing for a little while. But I was really excited to go through all of those different photos with Brandon. So for me, you can find me on Instagram at Scrub Shepherd. Facebook is under Stephen Cush. I try my best to post on both of those platforms pretty frequently. And if you liked this episode, subscribe here on the Trap Talk Reptile Network on YouTube. Give us a like, give us a subscribe. If you are listening on Spotify, Apple, any of the streaming services, give us a 5-star review. You can follow us over there. That would be great. And this is it for this episode. So if you guys want to keep checking them out, we're here every Wednesday. So thank you. And we will see everybody back here next Wednesday.